Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shad.
And this is another Potterween episode. So, finally, a movie that I've been trying to watch for years because I've never seen it. And I was curious as fuck to know what was this film that Robert Englund directed.
So, get out your 1988 or 1989 phones. Set it to touch tone and dial 976 evil.
From the mind of Robert Englund, alias Freddy Krueger, comes his first directorial movie.
What's up, Chuck?
A movie reliving a nightmare.
Let him go!
The powers of darkness have returned. Returned to capture their souls.
Don't worry about others. You'll damage your pride. They'll soon regret it.
The souls of the innocent.
Someday soon, you're gonna be down here and I'm gonna spit on you.
A real man has the nerves to take what he deserves.
Some say it's a warning from God.
A warning about what?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Take it. You're too late, Palmer.
Angela!
Robert Englund's 976 Evil.
Always go with your first instinct. It was totally 88.
Oh, okay.
You were right.
All right.
But yeah, either way, 88, 89, get that hamburger phone out. Let's make a phone call.
Yep.
And the person on the other line is going to be a porno star. I mean, I'm sorry. It's Stephen Jeffers.
Ooh, yeah, that is. Didn't he become a porn star?
Yes, he did.
Ooh.
Yeah. So who the fuck is that? He's evil.
From Fright Night.
From Fright Night. Yes. So he's in the film. And how funny that there should actually be a scene where, well, actually a lot of scenes. There's a room, actually, that has all these kind of posters in it. And one of the posters in it is Fright Night.
And they make sure that he stops right next to that poster. Just so you get the idea.
Yeah, I don't know if...
It was not subtle.
Yeah, I don't know if Robert Englund was like, so I'm going to need that Fright Night poster right there so we see kind of like... the sky a little bit and like the side of the house, but that's it. We can't give too much away. We don't get like a direct plug for another movie,
but we want to let you know exactly what it is.
Yeah, because this is the guy from Fright Night and you love this guy and now you need to see him in the movie I'm fucking directing.
Yep.
976 Evil, bitches.
And now the plot of this movie is very simple. People call 976 Evil and bad shit happens.
Yes.
There we go.
You call the 976 evil, and the paper is like horror scope.
Dun, right? Dun, dun. Get it?
Yeah, yeah. And the person on the line is like, throw yourself out the window, or you're going to get cut. And you're like, what? What the fuck? And it's like, if you don't do exactly what the voice on the other line is telling you to do, you're going to go through some shit. But yep. If you do what he does tell you to do, you're going to get a reward, but it's going to be fucking weird because it's like a genie where you can't like ask like, I want $1 million. And then the genie's like, gives you like a, you know, $1 million bill.
Yeah. Or they said, I want $1 million. So they turn 1 million deer loose in your town.
There you go. That's, I'm sorry. That is a way better fucking example than I did. Obviously, I'm not a genie, so I can't do the whole genie thing. This, I don't even know what to say about the movie. The pacing was terrible. This is actually, before we get too far, one of our Doom Room selections.
Yes.
For the Doom Room, this amazing place that we visited when we were down south. And... it is a magical place full of all kinds of VHSs, Blu-rays, DVDs, mostly VHSs. And it's magical in there. And we picked up a copy of 976 Evil, only to wait 1 week for there to be 976 Evil, Sex Evil. 976 Evil streaming. So now all of you bitches can watch it, because literally the only version you can watch was part two. And it's like, why are they only offering part two when I don't want to fucking see part two? I want to see part one.
Well, that's weird, because where we watched it is there's an app on the PlayStation. It's called Sony Crackle. And they also have the original Fright Night, which has not really been released on, you know, it was just recently finally released, like, on Blu-ray and that. And, you know, it's about time that some of these things get a release, but they still have some things on there that aren't out on Blu-ray. So it's kind of a weird site, but I'm glad it's there. We got to, you can actually see a pretty good version of it.
Now, we have played this game before. I believe it was in the film The Intruders. Is that the Sam Raimi one with the supermarket?
Yeah.
Of things you don't see anymore.
Yeah.
I think actually the name of the game was a different name. But it was mostly bullshit like that. In this film, there is a pull the knob cigarette machine.
Yeah, you don't see those anymore for sure.
Holy fuck. I haven't seen that in like a bajillion years.
30 years.
Okay. It's been, was I even alive 30 years ago? Maybe. It's been a long time. And to think that they were just all waiting in there, like, just, don't they get stale? I don't know. I'm not a smoker, so I don't know. Do cigarettes get stale when they're, like, in a vending machine? You can't even fucking find that anymore.
No.
There's no cigarettes in a vending machine. Payphones.
Everywhere there were payphones in this movie.
It was like, I have a nickel and I need to make a call. Boom! There's a payphone. Right now, you have to travel, like, there might be one payphone in, like, in the middle of the ghetto somewhere. It's very rare for there to be a payphone. I have seen more payphones in Orlando probably over the last, like, 10 years than I have in the last 20 years, if that makes any sense. Because down south, there were the payphones were gone. They ripped them all out.
Yeah, and this thing, too, is, like, this was in the whole boom of back at the time when the whole 900 number thing first started. And I remember people like, it says $3.95 a minute, but they don't really pay attention to that. And I remember hearing stories about people getting like $1,000 phone bills from calling the psychic hotline or whatever.
I may have been a victim of the phone line.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
I do not want to divulge what that was, because it's a very sad period of my life, very sad day. But I was punished and was not allowed to participate in Halloween 1 year because of my phone call that I made to talk to this fucking clown that told me he was going to tell me jokes. But I was way too young to know what money was or that I was doing something wrong until my mom yelled at me. But anywho, so yes, that was a very popular thing, calling into places.
Yep.
And they charged you a buttload of money.
Oh, yeah.
A buttload. How'd they even get away with that? What a fucking scam.
They put it on the ad and it was your fault if you called.
That's crazy. So let's talk about the dentist chair they used to have sex on. What was that about?
Yeah, like this whole guy's apartment. The guy, what was the main guy's name? Nick? Yeah, Nick, I think it was. And his apartment is filled with just random, like, here's a giant golf sign. Here's all this. It's like his apartment looked like a closet, basically. And then he had, like, what looked like a dentist chair just set up in the apartment so that him and his, you know, girlfriend could have sex on it.
Yeah, he definitely, I mean, has sex. I think his name is Hoax. No, Hoax is Stephen Jeffers.
Yeah, Hoax is the other guy.
Leonard. Spike.
Spike, sorry.
Spike. Nick, Spike, you're kind of close. Spike and his girl, yeah, that was a really weird sex chair. Where did he get this fucking dentist chair from? It looked like, actually, because when I was watching the film, I got like a weird, like, Warriors kind of like apocalyptic fucking sense. Like, it was supposed to be California, right?
Yeah, but everywhere, like, the high school was the worst high school. Like, the worst high school in the worst ghetto in the world looks better than this high school did. The classrooms had graffiti painted in.
The doorknobs had graffiti on them. It was intense.
The bathroom was just painted everywhere. It was crazy. Everywhere they went, there was just garbage blowing on the streets. The movie theaters, like, defaced everywhere. The bathroom's terrible and all that. Like, I've never seen anywhere that was as filthy as that.
It looked like what it must have looked like after the film Popcorn finished.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, like, they were taken to the streets and there's, like, fucking crazy ruckus happening everywhere and garbage are flowing. I don't know. It was a very apocalyptic looking, and I just didn't like it. It was like, oh, you know, we're not going to actually film anywhere. We're going to film in this closed set, but we have to, like, make it look so crazy that you don't know that this is all fake.
Yeah, they really went out of their way to try and make it like, oh, it's a rundown high school and everybody's terrible. It's like, oh, okay, we got it. You guys you've cranked it up to 11 and we understood it when it was at about 6.
There's no redeeming character in the film for me. I mean, you, Spike, and it's one of those things where, like, you know what? Spike is like the motorcycle, like having sex in the dentist chair, like, you know, cool guy.
Stealing money from his aunt.
He's like the terrible guy. And like Stephen Jeffers, you know, he's like, oh, the little nerd. He's so fucking innocent or whatever. But little did you know that, surprise, and I really called this like at the beginning of the film. I was like, so Spike, he's a fucking softy. And, like, the good guy. And fucking Stephen Jeffers is fucking evil. Hoax is an evil douche.
He's evil?
Yes, he's evil. Evil. No, we're not talking about Austin Powers. We're talking about Fright Night.
Okay. Talking about Fright Night still.
Yeah, so I just didn't. And, you know, what even, like, further blows my mind when you do, like, research on the film. This film was like co-written by someone who won an Academy Award for his fucking screenplay, the one with Kim Basinger from the fucking 90s. What is the name of that fucking movie? The name of the LA Confidential.
Oh yeah.
He co-wrote that film. He won for best fucking adapted screenplay. All right. And also he also did Mystic River. And he also did Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Master.
Well, you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, so that's a weird mix of movies to have done.
Yeah, that's kind of a strange career trajectory, but I guess it worked for him.
Yeah, it did work for him. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking or smoking when he wrote this 976, co-wrote this 976 Evil, but
this movie, there's a lot of just weird, like, errors in it, too, of, like, you got a private investigator showing up at the school asking questions. And at one point, he whips his ID out and says, I'm a private investigator. And across the top of his ID, it says police in big letters.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Like, what? Did you just go down to the store and get, like, the cop badge they used to sell with, like, the little wallet and the little plastic badge on and your police? And you could, like, have your mom write your name on it for you so you could be like, I want the FBI.
Blumhouse did not participate in this, you know, giving this film any money because it didn't exist at this time. So they had to, like, literally, you know, write bullshit or whatever. And why, and, like, I'm, now that I was saying about the apocalyptic, like, whole vibe, hit Spike's room, like we mentioned before, has a bunch of weird fucking shit that you would just find literally outside, like on the fucking Bermuda Triangle in the trash heap. He has a bank tube.
Yeah, that connects to his cousin Hoax's across the street. They have their own, like, little pneumatic tube system, like at the banks, where they can just send messages back and forth to each other. For some damn reason, they have this.
I don't know. And then there's, like, fishes falling from the sky because it's one of the, like, rewards from doing what was told from the 976 Evil hotline guy. Well, it's very strange.
It's really weird because, like, all the characters, there's not really a whole lot of, like, character development because everybody's, like, a really broad stereotype of a character. It's like, oh, I'm the crazy religious mom, blah, blah, blah. I'm the nerdy guy. I'm the slutty cheerleader or what, you know.
Yeah, I don't know why I waited so long to watch this movie. I wish I would have never actually found it, and I would have never gone looking for it, because it was definitely a sad waste of time. But the cool thing were that they went to a theater at one point, and there's all these amazing posters and stuff. There's outside, they have the poster of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Evil Dead.
Yep.
Phenomenon
is one with John Travolta.
Phenomena. If I hear it, I hear like the Muppets.
Oh, yeah. Phenomena.
Yeah. And then the posters on the wall in the projection booth, Maniac, all horror films, Dawn of the Dead, even though you did not see the Dawn of the Dead poster. So I know you kind of, not doubt me, but you don't think it's there, but it's definitely there. Critters, we mentioned Fright Night, and The Prey.
Yeah, which has a great tagline. We need to watch this movie. It's not human, and it's got an axe.
Yeah, that is a great tagline. And watch out for a future episode of The Prey when we find it somewhere. I pray we find it.
Yeah, it's a sad thing when the best part of the movie is the posters on the theater wall.
And, you know, Robert Englund, more power to you, my friend. You know, you tried something. It didn't work out. And it wasn't so much his directorial direction, because you really can't pay really close attention to that with how
weird everything else is.
Everything is weird and looks so choppy and just like, oh, I don't even know what to say. It's definitely on the top 10 worst horror films. Now I'm fucking really anxious to see part two, because what if part two is a fucking gem?
Yeah, the thing is, it reminds me, like, if you ever wondered, like, where they went to school in Blade Runner, this is where they went to school, because it's like a terrible place like that. It's run down, shitty, everything. And by the way, if you were ever a fan of Cheers, the biology teacher in this is played by the guy who played Paul in Cheers, who was, you know, one of the great characters on that. I always loved him. You're looking at me like crazy because you don't remember Paul. No one remembers Paul.
No, I don't remember Paul, and I don't fucking remember Cheers. I saw like maybe one episode rerun when I was waiting for like some other show to start. I don't know. I'm sorry. I've never seen this Cheers you speak of. I know what it's about because, you know, I'm alive. But, you know, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Apparently.
I thought it'd make you feel a little better about it, since I just like, I don't know. What the fuck is this? But yeah, so don't go see this movie. Don't. Or see it and make a drinking game out of it, because I feel like there'd be a hidden, amazing drinking game. Like, what random bullshit can we find? Hey, when I'm playing poker, you know what I'm going to find on the fucking table? A can of fucking open tuna, even though there's no
around. It wasn't tuna. It was cat food.
Oh, cat food. Oh,
it was
yes.
Nine Lives cat food with a fucking spoon in it, just sitting in the middle of the poker table like, which one of these assholes is eating Nine Lives?
I'm going to tell you right now, this is like Mad Max and the Thunderdome, but nothing cool is happening. No one has cars. There's just filled with payphones, weird sexual chairs, and cat food.
And then they have the whole thing where they're like playing, it's like all the guys in the theater or in the projection booth are playing cards. And apparently they're playing strip poker because there's like two half-naked guys. And they finally like, they beat the hand the girl has, and they're like, okay, time for the strip show. Everybody just turns around, sits back in their chair while she does a strip tease for them in the theater booth. Like, man, I had never went inside a projection booth that was that cool. That there were just people like, first of all, this thing was huge.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was like, what is this projection booth for? Like, is the machine like from 1950 and it's literally half the size of the fucking room, but it's invisible because we don't see it?
And then when they show the projector looks like the one you used to have in high school, you know, that the coach could only run.
Yeah.
It was that one. It was like, wait, that's like an 8mm projector in this theater. I don't think that's right. The last one of those I saw, those things were huge. So
maybe Nicolas Cage was in the fucking audience.
Yeah, watching a little 8mm snuff film.
You see, thank you. High five. Yeah, thanks for joining in on that nerdery that just occurred. Terrible nerdery. Also, very terrible film. I did not like that film either. Well, I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I did too.
Really bad. I want my money back, Nick Cage. Get my money back.
If we ever run into him, we'll ask for it.
Oh, fuck no. I'm not talking to that man. He freaks me out.
Oh, you know, he'd be amazing to talk to.
No, you can talk to him.
Didn't you see that thing online where the guy went up to him and just was like, hey, man, is it okay to get a picture with you? And he's like, fuck yeah, you can have a picture with me. And just like hugs the guy and is like laughing and carrying on. You're like, is he high or is he just cool? I don't know. But he looked like Nick Cage was like thrilled to get a picture taken with someone. You know, like he's like, yeah, take a picture with me. You know?
Yeah, and then you like, you meet him. And then you have like the nerdiest conversation, like on top of his like top 20 conversations he's had. They're super mad nerdy about fucking Superman.
Yeah, I just go up to him and go, I only want to talk to you about Superman.
And he would be like, come into my abode right here and we will sit down and discuss this for 1 week.
Yeah, he'll tell you everything you ever wanted to know about Superman, the movie he was almost in, and everything else.
That's a great documentary, by the way, if you haven't seen it. I don't know what the fuck name of the documentary is, but it's about him being Superman, and it's fabulous.
That's just crazy to think that was ever going to be a thing.
Anywho, Nick Cage was not in the movie that we just saw, 96 Evil. That would have been actually amazing. They should remake this motherfucking movie, and it should be Nick Cage should be Hoax. And he should also be the other character. It's Nick Cage playing himself. I mean, if Will Smith would fucking do it with his younger self and his true and his now self in that fucking Gemini Man movie, we can fucking do this with Nick Cage. I would love to see this film.
See, here's the thing.
And bring back Robert Englund. Fuck it. He's not doing anything. Bring back his ass. He'll fucking direct it too.
This is the thing. This movie was so bad, we can't think of anything to say about it other than it was just terrible. So we're digressing to all these other topics. I see now, like, why this movie... I mean, I think it made money is the sad part.
It did make money because there was no other horror film that came out that month besides 976 Evil.
And you know Robert Englund did all this shit because this was like at the height of Freddy popularity. And you know they probably just gave him this movie to direct. So they were like, we are going to need you to come back for more Freddy. And he was like, I don't know. Maybe if I directed a movie here and there. And they were like, here you go. And then they just let him do whatever the hell he wanted to do. He was just on a trip doing whatever. And there was no one that could say no because they were like, hey, back off. It's Freddy Town.
Yeah, and then, I mean, the year of the film, the year this film came out was completely incorrect, probably, but, you know, then he's like, yeah, I want to be like a crazy, handicapped fucking factory owner who's incestuous and, you know, is watching, like, my machine eat fucking people. That's what I want to do.
That was 1995, and that movie is The Mangler, and that movie is the shit. Despite what you think.
That movie is the shit. Turd in the toilet.
That movie's amazing. Just because...
I fell asleep, okay? That movie could not even hold me. Not even Robert Englund with his fucking, like, man face hair and his little spectacles with his, like, very unique, like...
Leg braces and stuff.
Fucking leg brace slash, like, cane armrest thing, whatever the fuck he has going there. Not even that could keep me a fucking awake. I was just like, I'm dead tired of watching this film. I wish the mangler would just mangle me so I wouldn't have to watch this anymore.
Well, this is what you get for letting Toby Hooper take care of movies.
Yeah, he drank too many fucking Dr. Peppers and smoked way too much weed that fucking time.
He did a lot of weed. But, like I said, check out The Mangler. It's actually good. Despite what she thinks, it's a good movie.
Yeah,
see, she can't really judge because her ass was unconscious 20 minutes into the movie. And she didn't see much of it beyond that. She just woke up at the end and goes, that was terrible! Well, the dream you had probably was, but the actual movie, The Mangler, was all right.
The production of my dream actually cost way more than that fucking film. And it was way more entertaining.
No, it's a good movie.
Whatever. But we'll may or may not be going over that movie later. But you know what? This film made it to our Podoween because it was scary terrible.
And at least look at it like this. At least we took this movie out of the Doom Room and no one else will have to suffer for it.
We saved the fucking Doom Room.
Another person will not be victimized by this movie.
Doom Room owners, do not get another 976 Evil. No, they are because it's so rare. I mean, you just can't find it because that's how terrible. Literally, someone tried to eradicate it. It's the reverse of the fucking E.T. game, right?
Yeah.
like someone tried to eradicate all the films, but there's only so many VHS copies left in the world. The Doom Room had one of them. Now we own it. And it's like, you know, a major gem because it's supposed to be, it's like Samara's video. Like we got to burn it or something.
We got to make 6 copies of it and mail it out to people. Oh, maybe we should just mail a copy to the next person that comments on this post.
Oh, can we do that? Is that something we can do?
No, I don't think we can do that.
Okay.
But we tried.
Yeah, so...
It's a thought that counts.
It's a thought that counts. Thank you so much for joining us for our Potterween episode on this terrible film, 976 Evil. Stay tuned to the horror.
Hey, kids. Here comes Peter Pumpkin. For a safe Halloween, see what Peter does. Wear a light-colored costume short enough so you don't trip. If you wear a mask, make sure you can see. Makeup's better. Don't crisscross the street. Call on one side, then the other. Parents, set boundaries and a time to be home. Carry a flashlight for extra safety. And let's all have a safe...